You're listening to All Law, an audio series brought to you by Lakshmi Kumaran and Sridharan, a leading Indian law firm. At the firm, we are proud to combine knowledge of law with extensive experience in industry and technology in order to design practical legal solutions for our clients. This podcast series is a part of our knowledge sharing initiative where we will discuss notable judicial and regulatory developments and analyze the business implications of the law as it evolves in India. This podcast is titled Shifting the Burden of Indirect Taxes, a Contract Conundrum. Taxes are commonly categorized as direct taxes and indirect taxes due to the economic theory that indirect taxes are ultimately borne by the consumer despite being charged on the supplier. Simply put, the burden of an indirect tax can be shifted onto another, and from this facet, the nomenclature indirect tax is derived. It is well recognized that SSEs can contract to shift their liability to bear the burden of an indirect tax. In Mahindra Mills Limited versus Union of India, it was observed that only an unwise businessman would suffer the burden of indirect taxes. Therefore, in commercial transactions, it is common to negotiate and record specific terms regarding which party would bear the burden of the taxes in the agreements governing the transaction. The Supreme Court has held that indirect taxes are indirect only in economic theory and not in constitutional law. This essentially means that if a person chooses to not contractually shift the burden of tax, the same will not alter the nature of the tax. The levy would continue to persist and the same would be recoverable from the person liable to pay the tax. For instance, a service provider may choose to contractually agree to bear the burden of service tax himself without passing on the same to the service recipient. Such a contract clause would not render the tax any less a service tax. Thus, a key takeaway is that the terms of a contract play a vital role in affixing the ultimate liability to bear the burden of taxes. With the introduction of the goods and services tax regime, several contractual disputes have risen due to ambiguities in tax clauses on which party would be liable to bear the new tax. While the nature of disputes vary based on the contractual arrangements, this podcast will analyze few select situations for highlighting the importance of drafting contracts with a proper tax clause. A very common scenario is when the tax clause deals only with the erstwhile levy. In these cases, the burden of erstwhile taxes such as service tax, excise duty or VAT, is either agreed to be passed on to the recipient or borne by the supplier. The tax clause would make no mention of future levies and thus would be silent on which party would bear the burden of GST. In this context, the question arises as to whether a party has agreed to bear GST simply because such party had agreed to bear the burden of erstwhile levies. To understand this scenario better, the following clause can be considered as an example. The above prices are inclusive of excise duty at the rate prevailing on the date of your quotations. If the rate of excise duty has since then decreased, you shall charge excise duty at the rate prevailing at the time of supply and decrease the price proportionally and inform the office of such decrease, if any, with detailed calculations. This clause was interpreted in the decision of Bipson Surgical and it was held that the liability to bear an increased rate of tax was always on the supplier, and merely because VAT and excise duty had been substituted with GST, the supplier cannot claim price revision. It was observed that in the absence of a specific clause which permitted price revision due to increase in rate of tax or introduction of a new tax such as GST, granting relief by way of directing price revision would tantamount to varying the terms and conditions of the contract. From an alternate standpoint, if a contract allows for recovery of service tax or VAT from the recipient, however, is silent on whether GST can be recovered, one could argue that GST being an indirect tax and a replacement to the existing tax on goods or services, the supplier can recover the tax from the recipient. Such a view in the context of service tax was enunciated in the decision of Meetals Private Limited versus HDFC Bank Limited. The answer to the question of whether a party has agreed to bear GST since it has agreed to bear the erstwhile levies would depend on the holistic interpretation of the contract between the parties. If the contract has a change in law clause, which allocates the risks, costs, etc. associated with the introduction of a new levy, the parties would be bound by those terms. If the contract is silent, litigation can be expected as varied views are possible. In some scenarios, the tax clause would be worded in a wide manner such that the burden of all the taxes would be agreed to be borne by a party. The question which arises in this context is whether a new levy such as GST has also been agreed to be borne by such party. Let us consider an example. The licensee or licensees shall also duly pay during the continuance of this license all cesses, rates, water charges, taxes and other charges or taxes in respect of the said premises. This tax clause was interpreted by the Honorable Madras High Court in the decision of T. Karthik Raja versus Southern Railway. The court was of the view that through the tax clause, the licensees have admitted to bear the liability of all taxes, including GST, in respect of the licensed premises. We consider another example. Payment of taxes or dues. The service provider will be liable for payment of all taxes or duties, service tax and other liabilities in respect of the business. In the decision of IRCTC versus Deepak and Company, the Honorable Delhi High Court interpreted this clause and held that it does not throw any light on the liability of GST. Therefore, it was held that the service provider would not be liable to bear GST and the same would be payable by IRCTC. The different views taken in the examples is due to the Railway Board circulars which clarified the GST implication under the contracts with the railways. In IRCTC versus Deepak and Company, a Railway Board commercial circular had directed that GST would have to be reimbursed to the service provider on submission of proof of deposit, indicating that GST was in addition to the production charges. This fact was crucial to arrive at the conclusion that GST is over and above the production charges agreed to be paid to the service provider. It is clear from these examples that even vague and all-encompassing tax clauses may be interpreted to not include a future levy if other terms governing the contract provide a different intention. A rare but a possible scenario is when the contract is completely silent on the tax burden. In such a case, if the courts were to decide on which party is required to bear the burden of indirect taxes, what factors could influence the decision? There are many factors in GST law which both support and reject the view that the burden of GST would be passed on by the supplier to the recipient. For example, the statutory presumption that GST has been passed on in the context of refund provisions and the anti-profiteering mandate support the view that GST is usually passed on. On the other hand, recipient of a supply is not recognized as a person from whom recovery of tax can be made under Section 79 of the CGST Act. The relevance of these factors under the GST law is debatable. Courts may also consider parole evidence, that is nothing but pre-contractual negotiations, emails, documents, etc., to ascertain the intention of the parties. However, if the oral arrangements or conduct of the parties is inconsistent with the formal contract, the latter would prevail. The law provides a greater scope to admit parole evidence in cases involving contracts for sale of goods. It is also relevant to note that Section 64A of the Sale of Goods Act 1930 provides that the burden of increase or decrease of taxes on the sale or purchase of goods shall be on the buyer unless a different intention appears from the terms of the contract. In conclusion, this podcast has analyzed select situations for highlighting the importance of drafting contracts with a proper tax clause. Since tax rates under GST are as high as 28% of the value of supply, parties must pay careful attention to the terms of the contract. The following key points may be noted while entering into contracts. It is vital to have a clear understanding between the parties on who would be liable to bear taxes and other levies. The tax clause in the contract should explicitly record this understanding. It would be advisable to include a clause to factor in changes or modifications in existing taxation laws. Parties should not view the change in law clause and price variation clause as boilerplate clauses. Parties must pay careful attention to the wordings of these clauses based on the commercial requirements of each transaction. It must be ensured that the contract and all correspondences do not have conflicting terms on tax liability. Conflicting terms may lead to a battle of forms situation, which will present further interpretative challenges. Thank you for taking the time for listening to this series. We would love to hear your feedback, comments, and questions about the episode. You can write to us at podcast@lakshmishree.com to know more. You can even suggest topics for future episodes if you'd like to hear more about them. Do check out our website www.lakshmishree.com, which has been linked in the episode description below, to keep you abreast with the relevant legal updates. We hope that you'll join us next week.